You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio, when we spend an hour talking to some very interesting and inspirational local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. So I'm Mandy Dineley, and today I'm delighted to be with my fellow presenter, Penny Carter. And I haven't worked with Penny since last December, so it's good to see you again, Penny.
Hi, Mandy. Pleased to be back and great to be meeting a wide variety of ladies and hosting the show with yourself today. So on today's show, we have some very interesting guests. First up, we have Deborah Levitt from Bridge Road Consultants, who runs a planning business for business owners and manages a podcasting business as well. She is followed by Megan Dujac from Action for Children based in Surrey, and Megan has been a Surrey fundraiser for 2 years. And finally, we will have Laura Doherty, founder of Vision Board Surrey, who helps individuals who are struggling with life direction. We're delighted to have them all on the show and are really looking forward to learning about their various businesses.
Thanks, Penny. That's great. And so to start today's show, I'd like to welcome our very first guest, and that's Deborah Levitt.
Hello. How are you?
Deborah. Good. Thank you. Lovely to have you on the show. So Deborah's from Bridge Road Consulting. Deborah, perhaps you could give us a bit of insight into how you got into the world of podcasting and what it's all about.
Well, it started shortly after I first came on to Brooklyn's Radio, and I thought, I still like talking, as most people who know me know, and I thought, actually, I could do a podcast, and it was a fairly, unlike most of my working life, which is pretty well planned, it was a fairly random decision to just start a podcast, and I started thinking about why I was doing it, what I was, you know, planning to get out of it, and I just started, and I went through this really steep learning curve of figuring out all of the different things that you had to do, figuring out that it was all well and good for people to say, yes, they'd be a guest, but then you have this huge amount of admin to actually make sure that they turn up when they're supposed to and all of this. So about probably 6 months in, somebody said to me, you know, well, what about training other people to do this? And I thought, well, actually, that could work because I like training. I've got a background actually in training as well. And so from then, I've been just developing what it is that people need to know, why they might want to do a podcast, and putting together these packages to help people to decide, first of all, if they want a podcast, and second of all, to then help them get it started. And what it's all about, it's about audio. So it's like radio. It's very much about connecting with your audience. It's about talking to them. It's about, you know, communicating and building up a really quite, and I think you say this all the time, Mandy, an intimate connection with people. So the podcast isn't about selling. It's about sharing and getting people to know, like, and trust you. And from there, if you're a business, hopefully the sales will eventually come, but you're not directly going out saying, buy me, buy me, buy me.
And how do you get your guests for your own podcast? How do you find them?
Strange places. So some people I know, which in itself isn't necessarily strange. But some people, I was watching, I think it's Sunday Brunch, and there's a woman who was on there almost a year ago, and I've been in contact with her agent ever since, and we have been trying to get her onto the show because I just listened to her and then read her book, and I thought, oh, she would be a fantastic guest. So it's a mixture of things like that where I'm just, you know, looking for people who are interesting. People suggest other people to me, and I look for a range. I want people who are fairly well known as well as people who aren't necessarily well known, because something that's really important to me is that definition of success. I think we get caught up in that, you know, to be successful, I've got to be, you know, the name that's on everybody's lips. But you don't, and you can be successful in so many different ways. So I want to represent that success at all levels. So it's really just a mixture of watching out for people, hearing of people, getting in touch with them, and asking them if they'll come on.
So tell me about, I was reading your website and had a look at the podcast launcher, and yes, tell me, rather than me tell you what I read, tell me how you put that together. What were the stages?
So I started off, the first thing that I put together was actually a course of So You Think You Want Your Own Podcast. And that was about educating people on all of the different pieces that go into having a podcast. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, what's the real gap going to be? And that gap, I think, is in doing it. So figuring out for yourself what your podcast's going to be about, why you're doing it, and who are you speaking to, and not just your perspective, but then thinking about, well, why are they listening to me? So I want to tell them this, but do they actually want to hear it? So working through that with people and being able to give feedback and to bounce ideas off of them is the very first part of the launcher. It's about, why am I doing this? What am I going to do with it? And that definition of success, how are you going to measure your podcast as being successful? Because what's unlikely is that you will have millions of downloads. So those people that you hear about mm-hmm. who've just, you know, downloaded left, right, and center, they're the exceptions. They're not the rule. So it's understanding what your success is going to be. And if it's monetary, if it's, you know, credibility, all of those things, so that you can then decide, do I want to have a podcast?
And if you decided that was the right route for you, how do you get it to market? How do you become visible to maybe somebody like me who is a podcast novice? I'm not really that heavily involved or into them.
It's interesting at the moment because there's people who completely into them and people like you who have either hardly heard of them or some people haven't heard of them at all. It's a really wide range. But what you need to do is to get it out onto as many different platforms initially as possible. And that doesn't actually cost. It takes time, but you submit it to iTunes, you submit it to Spotify, Google, and there's five main ones that you would put it out to. So Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and iTunes. And then there's a plethora of other ones. So the more places you can put it, the easier it is for somebody to consume it. Because what you don't want to do, so somebody said to me the other day, why don't I just put it on iTunes? And I said, well, there's a whole world of people out there who aren't Apple people. Right. So you want people to get it from where they want. And then you have to promote it. So then it's doing the social media. It's, you know, getting other people to share it, trying to get conversations going so that people start to be aware of it.
And can you give me an example of one that has been really successful or in the eyes of the person wanting to have their own podcast? What is success to them? And an example of somebody who's achieved that success.
Do you mean somebody just sort of in the general world of podcasting?
Exactly, yeah.
I think somebody who's actually just doing a very new one is David Tennant. So David Tennant discovered that he really likes podcasts, started his own at the beginning of this year, and I don't actually know his download numbers, but the fact that he's just started one and is going with it kind of shows that visibility, that awareness of it is there. And he's on my list to listen to, but I was buried in expo stuff.
There are so many different people that do different podcasts.
There are
all sorts of topics, and that's what I find quite amazing. There's no limitation. And I've been listening to podcasts for quite some time now. And what I love about podcasts and what I love about yours, I've listened to quite a few of yours, is that they're very natural. They don't have to be perfect. They're very natural. So, you know, the perfect doesn't seem to be a thing in the podcast world, which I love because it's very real.
Well, and that was one of the things that I found when I started is, you know, it's like everybody, we all think, oh, I don't like the way I look, I don't like the way I sound. And you start, you know, because I'm editing them, so I'm listening back. So I'm hearing myself a lot and realizing that actually the the ahs, all of those little things, everybody does them. So I've interviewed, you know, so Penny Power, Daniel Priestley, Richard Woods, you know, they're all people who speak a lot and they, you know, go out and do lots of speaking and talking. They all and ah. They all have, you know, those hesitations. And it's realizing that, as you said, Mandy, that it's about being natural. And what we hear versus what we read are actually two very different requirements.
Do you think once people know that and they know that they don't have to be perfect, but they just have to have something to offer, then you've got them onto the podcast launcher, hopefully, and they'll appreciate that it's not going to be as difficult as they think?
I think so, and I think that's why part of the launcher is actually what I tend to call talking exercises. So the first parts of it, I don't get people to write things down, because if you're going to have a podcast, you're going to have to talk. And so I figure you might as well get used to the idea of hearing yourself from the outset. So they start talking through their ideas. They start speaking and recording themselves with what they think they want to get out of it. So by the end of that process, they either will know they don't want to do it, that it's absolutely not coming naturally to them, they're very uncomfortable, or they'll now be more relaxed about their voice. And it's really quite interesting. So somebody I'm working with at the moment, the first one that she recorded and the second one were very different. I could tell that she was very relaxed with the first one. Not initially. She started off a bit hesitant and then she kind of warmed up. And in the second one, I could almost see her, because I get them to talk for at least 20 minutes, and I could almost see her, even though I was just listening, looking at her watch going, oh my gosh, is it, 20 minutes yet? Because it was just something she hadn't thought through enough. But it triggers so many ideas as well.
Yeah, that's quite an exercise, isn't it? Asking somebody to talk for... I mean, we can't stop sometimes, but asking somebody to talk for 20 minutes about if they haven't planned it, it's going to be very difficult.
And it's to themselves.
Yes.
They're not talking to somebody. They are just talking and recording. But it's amazing what your brain suddenly comes up with.
Can I ask you about the podcast launcher? Because obviously our listeners would be very interested to know, how long would it take, roughly, from start to finish? Say they would say, I want to have a podcast. Actually, that's another question afterwards I wanted to ask you about, so I'll save that one. So if they wanted to have a podcast, how long would it take?
It would take at least 4 to 6 weeks. And the reason for that is that there's that thinking process of figuring out what you want and getting yourself lined up. And I think people will go through that at different paces. Some people will be really quick off the mark. And some people, like, again, one of my clients right now, we're evolving it as we go, as she's speaking about it, as she's thinking more, and taking her from her initial concept, which was very short term, to going, well, hang on a second, that's going to take you to September. What are you doing after that? So that process itself is going to vary from person to person. And then there's the recording some episodes, because it's good to have a show intro that people can listen to and get a feel for what your show's going to be about when they're deciding whether they want to listen or not. And then actually recording at least one episode ready to go out and to produce it, getting the artwork done, getting the music done, all of which is included in the launcher. So by the end of it, you've got something which is ready to go out. So timings will vary depending on the individual, and we could go faster, mm-hmm. but realistically, I think for most people, that's going to be the right time frame.
So do you offer another package where you can manage it for them? If they only want to do a certain part, do you offer them something?
Yes. So I have, two other packages. So one is for the person who, at the very beginning, doesn't really know if they want to do it, and all of that concept definition can take place in that, so that they're not committed to having a podcast when they're not sure. And then there's the third part, which is the concierge packages. And those are about saying, okay, you know what your podcast is about, you know what mm-hmm. you're talking about, who you're talking to, and you now want to be the one who does the radio show, the actual podcast episodes yourself, because it's about you, but you want somebody else to take on some level of responsibility for putting that show together. So I have a range. I've got, the normal bronze, silver, and gold packages, depending on what people want and how much they want to have taken off of them to make it easier to put the podcast out.
Mm. And could you tell us what entry-level package the cost would be? Obviously, it's quite a long time, must take an awful lot of your time to put together. So
for the support, the ongoing support,
mm-hmm, yeah.
The bronze one is £37 a month. So that's up to four episodes, and that is basically topping and tailing and doing some editing which levels the sound and brings everything down to there's, you know how if you're listening to the TV and the TV ad comes on and it blasts you?
Yes.
It's leveling the sound so you don't get that effect.
Okay. Gosh, that's quite reasonable.
It is.
Very.
Do you know, we could talk about this for ages. And just sadly, Deborah, we've come to that time in the programme where we usually ask, because we're coming to the end of the of your session, we usually ask our guests for some advice. So is there any particular message you would like to share with our listeners today, particularly anyone who would like to have their own podcast or start listening to them?
If they want to start listening to them, I would just look, you know, just basically search for the word podcast and a topic that you're interested in. So if you're interested in baking cakes, if you're interested in lawnmowers, because I'm positive there are fans of lawnmowers out there, you know, whatever it is, just search for it and stick podcast on it. And then it will come up with, you know, a wide range, and give them a try. Don't rule them out because you don't like the first one you listen to. And if you're thinking about starting one, well, obviously contact me.
Absolutely. And how will they? I mean, that's great advice for a novice or a podcast searching. But how would they get in touch with you? Website?
Yes, they can go to my website, which is bridgeroadconsultants.com, or send me an email at Debra, D-E-B-R-A, no O's, no H's, at bridgeroadconsultants.com.
Thank you very much. That was Deborah Levitt from Bridge Road Consulting. After the break, we will be talking to Megan Dudziak from Action for Children.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
Check out the new Brooklands Radio website at brooklandsradio.co.uk. Listen to the live shows bringing you the sounds of Surrey, with news, travel, local events and happenings, plus everything from folk music to progressive rock to business interviews to Hollywood hits. Search our extensive library of podcasts or listen to entire shows through our Mixcloud accounts. You can see our schedules for the coming week and pick your favourite programmes and broadcasters. It's all at brooklandsradio.co.uk. On PC, Android and Apple devices, or tune in, or download our own free app. Love listening to Brooklands Radio. Loving Surrey.
Hello, my name's Sarah Chaplin, and every Thursday night I host a show called Jazz London Live at 10 o'clock until midnight, and each week I play a selection of jazz, funk, fusion and Latin. I feature an interview in the first hour of the show with somebody on the British jazz scene, a gig guy rounding up the gigs in the week to come, and in the second hour of the show there's Album of the Week, in which I play three tracks from a brand new album that's just come out, and also a long track in the second hour of the show to help you wind down to bedtime on a Thursday evening. It gets a bit more mellow towards the end of the show. So if you love jazz, you're going to love this show, Jazz London Live on Brooklands Radio. If you're not sure whether you like jazz, give it a try. You might find there's some tracks in there that you really love.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Penny Carter, and my co-presenter, Mandy. We'd now like to welcome Megan Dudziak from Action for Children. Could I start by asking you how you became involved in Action for Children and how long you've been there?
So, yes, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I have been with Action for Children for 2 years now. I'm the Surrey fundraiser. And I first started, well, I got into the role by, I did disability studies at university. So I was very focused in disabled children and adults and helping to support them in their lives. I then worked throughout the care industry, and then I decided that I wanted to take a step back, really, from the front line and fundraise instead and help them get the income and the funds so that they could enjoy life independently.
So did your experience from your studies lend you, put you in a good position to know where to begin the role as a fundraiser? Because I understand that can be quite challenging.
Yes, well, Action for Children supports a lot of different people, usually fostering and adoption or young carers, but we do actually have two disability residential centres in Surrey, so it did really help with that. And when I went in to go and have a look around the centres, and when I take our supporters in for a tour around the centres, it's always good to have a knowledge about the background of what our disability centres do in the first place, which has helped a lot within my role.
So looking at your website, there are certain areas, aren't there, of expertise that you have. So those are helping disadvantaged children, supporting families and fostering and adoption. So
yes,
quite varied areas to focus on. And in your fundraising, does that cover all aspects of the charity?
Yeah, so across the UK we support over 300,000 children, young people and their families, and this is through 600 services. And like you just said, we have fostering and adoption, we have young carers support, disability support, youth housing, and we're also running a lot of mental health programmes out through schools at the moment as well. So my fundraising, what I do is I work with people who want to support Action for Children who live in the Surrey area, and their funds go towards all the services we support really across the UK.
One thing I noticed, which I think is absolutely brilliant, is that 92 pence of every pound goes towards the children's and their families.
Yes,
which is pretty impressive for a charity. How do you maintain that? Is that purely through fundraising then, and sponsorships, or?
Yeah, so purely through fundraising. This can be as fundraising. I'm a community fundraiser, so I work with a lot of churches or individuals who want to do a sponsored race or a bake sale or things like that. So it can be as every donation matters. It can be as small as a £20, £10 donation, all the way through to, we have a new partnership with Royal Mail, who are hoping to raise in the millions of pounds for us. So that's how it's funded. We're very conscious on the 92 pence to a pound ratio. Is our founder, Sir Thomas Bowman Stevenson, he it's our 150th birthday this
really?
Year, so back 150
wow.
years ago, he walked past two young homeless boys on the streets of Waterloo, and he paid them the respects of listening to their stories. And then that's when he first created the first children's home, and back then it was called the National Children's Home, NCH. So we're very conscious on making sure that we do everything for the children and the young people, rather than putting our money into so much advertisement and things like that. So we've got the children's needs at our hearts
and
of the charity.
And that's how it should be,
yes.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, hard work, I should think. You must. Who would you ideally look for if you could look for people that would be able to help you, apart from the people that will fundraise? What sort of groups of people would you really love to get in touch with, or love to get in touch with you?
Really, local corporates, so that can range from solicitors, estate agents, through to small business owners. That's really good, because we provide really good team building events that they can get involved in, and supporting a local charity, they can find out more about our services in their local area as well. And the funds really do help, and if we have a charity of the year as such, we can work together in partnership with those corporates, local corporates, and really get the donations and funds that do really help our children.
So is it looking for businesses who maybe have a nominated charity for a specific length of time, you try and get in front of them to get their support? Would that be accurate?
Yes.
And how do you go about getting a foot in the door?
So
how do you get past the gatekeeper?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Sometimes it is literally myself going into the front door of a solicitor's or an estate agent's or a shop and just introducing myself and saying we'd love to be a partnership charity. Some obviously it's quite difficult to be able to walk into every single company and do that, so I try to call a few times or make an application online, but coming on the radio station like this, it's great if people know of a company who might be looking for a charity if they want to pass the details on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's new companies all the time, and also charities move on.
Yes.
And I should think there are endless opportunities. It's just, I guess, sifting them out, isn't it? That must be very hard, because there are a lot of charities out there. But I think, you know, the charity, anything to do with children, people do tend to notice, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. And so if anybody were out there listening and they wanted to support?
Yes, they can go to Action for Children, and if they go to support us and down to fundraising events, all of our fundraising events that they can get involved in will be displayed there. If not, they can contact me through my email address, which is megan.dudziak, which is DUDZIAK, at actionforchildren.org.uk.
Right,
that's brilliant. I just want to ask you something about, I met somebody else from Action for Children in another area, and they were doing some wonderful things, which I know you do too, but they were collecting items, I think, for the children, so that they would have, because you do lots of different things, so that they would have Christmas presents. And all of those things, which is incredible. How do you find that information? Is that all on the website, or do you do that as it comes up?
Yes, we tend to do that around Christmas time. Or Easter time, we collect Easter eggs, things like that. So our disability residential centres here in Surrey, there's one just down the road in Kingston called Warren Park. They have a short break service where children can come and go for weekends or a week, but then next to the short breaks is a residential service, and this is where young people stay there for permanent, so they're there 24-hour care from a year to 5-6 years, depending on how long they need to be there. And some of these young people do not have any family members at all, so the donations we get from presents or Easter eggs, and a lot of the donations we get actually go to buy the children a present at Christmas, which could be their only one, really. So it's really nice.
So amazing. You're specifically involved in the fundraising aspect. Have you got any big successes that you've had, anything that you can share with us that you're quite proud of?
Yes, so recently I was involved with the University of Surrey, and students on the business course there, they worked with us to get they really wanted to help fund Action for Children, especially Warren Park, and Warren Park are wanting to create a sensory splash park in their back garden so that the children can access water and water play. And the students at Surrey Business School actually contacted lots of businesses in Guildford and Kingston, and they managed to, and a lot of crowdfunding as well, and they managed to raise over £3,000 for us, which was brilliant. So it was really nice that the students actually did that as part of their degree as well for us, which was really, really good.
And you're very young yourself, but that's so lovely coming from the young people and a community project.
Yes.
So money must come from all sorts of different areas and means. It must
Definitely.
Surprise you sometimes when you know, have you had any unusual contributions from an unusual form, I suppose? Or
yes, we actually had. We're highly supported by the Methodist Church because our founder was a Methodist minister. So one of our Methodist supporters decided to celebrate their 90th birthday by doing a skydive.
Oh my gosh.
And raised money through that. So that was really, really exciting and interesting. And they raised lots of money. It was a few years ago now. I can't remember the exact amount, but that is the most interesting way of fundraising, which is brilliant.
And brave.
Very brave, very brave. I don't think I would dare do a skydive. So at 90 years old, it's fantastic. Yes.
So are there any future plans that the charity or yourself are working on that you'd like to share with the people listening?
Yes. So like I said previously, it's our 150th birthday this year. And we are asking people to take on a challenge for that to support us. And this could be either walking or running 150 miles in a month, say, or selling 150 cakes at a bake sale or anything like that. I've decided to take on a challenge myself and to try and find 150 supporters to raise £150 each. So that will be before, I'm trying to do that before our exact birthday in July, so it will be quite a challenge, but
so you've got a few months to get. What date in July are you working towards?
The second Sunday in July, which I believe is the 7th.
7th of July.
Yes.
But that's so creative. It's allowing people to raise funds creatively. That's so brilliant. Megan, we're running out of time again. I'm so sorry. But it's been brilliant. Again, we could go on talking to you for ages. So we've come to the end of our chat. So it just remains for me to ask if you have any particular advice you might like to share with our listeners, particularly anyone who's looking to support or work for a local charity, and how can they help?
So I think the key thing, especially about supporting a charity and fundraising, is not by directly asking someone to donate money. Like we've discussed, it's about doing something fun, interesting, taking on a challenge to support the charity and create awareness for the charity. If people down the road know that you're doing a run for Action for Children, just getting the Action for Children name out there really helps the charity as well. And it's always great to contact your local fundraiser, because say myself, if you're in Surrey, if you want to contact me, I can give you lots of information about what we do locally to you as well as UK-wide. There's lots of volunteering opportunities available, and if you wanted to work for us as well, I can give details.
Could you just remind our listeners of your contact details again?
Yes.
Please, so they can get in touch.
My name's Megan Dudjack. My mobile is 07702442843, and my email address is megan.dudjack, which is dudziak, at actionforchildren.org.uk.
That's brilliant, and I'm hoping that our listeners will get in touch with you. Thank you, Megan, for coming on to the show. It's been lovely, and we'd love to have you back on again in the future. So we're going to take a short break now. After that, we'll be talking all things visual with vision boards and finding your purpose and direction with Lara Doherty. So don't go away.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge, is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7am to 11pm weekdays, 7am to 9pm Saturdays, and 10am to 4pm on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Brooklands Radio's audience is growing. Potential listeners are listening, but are they hearing your message? Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't know about internet radio, or maybe I should wait. Well, instead, think about it this way. Do you want to be one of the first businesses like yours to advertise on internet radio? Or the last? So why not tap into the power of Brooklands Radio easily and affordably? Contact Fiona through sales@brooklandsradio.co.uk. That's sales@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Brooklands Radio. Loving Surrey Radio. Brooklands Radio.
If you love film music of all kinds, then Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Britflix is the show for you. Every Thursday, escape into the exciting world of the movies with soundtracks that transport you right into the films. From special shows dedicated to legendary composers to theme shows dedicated to different genres, you can hear a mixture of classic themes as well as well-known songs that feature in films. So, all you film fans, be sure to catch Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Britflix with me, Suzanne Hunter, every Thursday at 9 p.m, only on Brooklands Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dineley, together with Penny Carter. Our third guest on today's show is Lara Doherty. Hi, Lara.
Hello. How are
you? Lovely. Very well, thank you. Yes. Lovely to have you on the show. Now, thank Lara, you. Great to have you. Lara founded Vision Boards, about a year ago. Lara, could you let our listeners know how and why you got into the colourful and inspiring world of vision boards?
Yes. So, going back probably three years ago, I was in a situation where I was felt quite stuck. I didn't have much direction. I was quite in the wrong career, quite overweight, in a difficult relationship. And I sort of had an epiphany one day, and I started running. And I lost 3 dress sizes, and I entered a half marathon. I ran a lot. I got really fit, and that was kind of the sort of transition. I started doing a lot of self-development, and during that self-development, I read a book all about vision boarding, and it was written by an American lady, and I loved the sound of it because the thing about vision boards is that you put lots of pictures on a board. And those are all your kind of dreams and aspirations. And I did mine. I basically then created my own vision board. And following creating my own vision board, my life really changed quite quickly. And I suddenly got from going from not having very much direction and really not knowing what I really wanted to do with my life and kind of what my purpose was, I suddenly had real clarity and a kind of vision of actually what I wanted to do with my life. And it was to sort of help people exactly that, is basically find direction and find purpose. So that was October 2017. And then by February 2018, I ran my first workshop with 8 people who all wanted various things out of life. And I absolutely loved it, and I got fantastic feedback and decided to carry on doing it. And that's what I've done, and it's been amazing. I've loved it.
So if people haven't sort of grasped it, yeah, it's the images that you would put together on a board that are meaningful to you as an individual.
Exactly. So if I go through, probably to explain the process a bit.
Okay.
So it's not just sort of sticking pictures on a board. So there's I go through different exercises with the workshop attendees to kind of ask them sort of quite difficult questions about what they want out of life. So what they want to do, what they want to be, what they want to have. And to actually spend a whole day thinking about yourself is quite rare, away from a busy life, a busy, stressful life. You might have kids or, you know, just general busy lives. So first of all, you've got the space to think think about yourself, but you're also with kind of like-minded people. So there's a lot of discussion that happens around similarities of what people want. So it's a discussion. It's also different exercises. And then the whole process is I've got piles of magazines, and then you flick through the magazines, and very naturally, you've already written down what your dreams and aspirations are, but they kind of come across in the magazines. So you might find a picture that's related to exactly what you've been asked, well, what you want and what you want to have and what you want to do. So it's a lovely process, actually, because it's all aligned. So you then get a pile of pictures, which you then stick on your board. And then I go through each of the boards with the attendees, and we talk about what is on their board. So the person who arrived in the morning of the workshop is a totally different person by the end of the day.
Yeah,
and literally they smile. You can just feel a different energy in the room. It's amazing. It's a sort of hope and a happiness that actually that vision is possible.
Yes, yeah, so I was thinking, as you were saying, people must be surprised by some of the results that they get, and they weren't expecting. Does that happen quite a lot?
A lot.
Where they've got a board and, it's brought something out in them that they hadn't expected.
Exactly. So the questioning might have brought something written down, but actually when they're looking through the magazines, they will then find an image that perhaps they hadn't thought of. And actually it happened to me when I've just made my second board, and it's happened to me, and I trust the process. So I think, well, brilliant, that's obviously, it's either an image or it could be a phrase or, you know, a collection of words. And I sort of believe that actually that will mean something, and so much has come true for me. I wanted to do a lot of travel, I wanted to do these workshops, and so much has actually happened that's been on my board. So I just totally believe in it. It's amazing.
When you changed direction, was the specific training that you needed to go through in order to be qualified
to do the workshops?
To run the workshops?
I did actually do a course of how to actually... So I read the book. And the lady who wrote the book, she actually runs courses. So, and it was one of those days where I had been searching for, I've been searching all my life for my kind of purpose, my dream career. I've done a lot of different things. And when I found it, I had this amazing feeling that this was what I was meant to do. And it's proven to be exactly what I meant to be doing.
And women, is it for women mostly, or can it men do it as well?
Yeah, I've had lots. Well, I haven't had loads of men, but I've had couples, I've had men, but it is mainly women. Yes.
And when
I'd love more men to come along.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah, I think they're harder to get to come along, aren't they?
Yes.
To these sort of things. But when you look at a vision board, I'm thinking, because you've got beautiful colours on today.
Oh, thank you.
Do you find that some people gravitate towards soft colours or bright colours, or do you find that some people have a neat board? Or
yes.
You could tell a lot, I guess, from
they're all neat. They're so different.
Neat, yes,
I mean, you know, my board probably 5 years ago would have been all black, but because I used to wear a lot of black, but now I'm much more colourful. But every board is very, very different, and they're all, you might get somebody who's very ordered. Or you might get somebody who's got no white space on the board. They're all very different. Different colours.
Yeah.
Some are pastel. They've sort of, almost like a sort of interest board in a way.
It's interesting you saying that, because I haven't done one. I really want to come on one of your workshops.
Good,
so
great.
I was looking at your next one that goes on in March. But I know mine would not have any straight lines.
Oh, would it not?
No, mine wouldn't either.
Fascinating,
mine wouldn't.
But that doesn't matter.
Say about
there's
it.
No wrong or right. So it's just, it's you know, it doesn't matter. It's all personal preference.
Don't like angles.
No, oh, really?
I would.
Fascinating.
Yeah, rounded. Mine would be kind of rounded. Or
really?
Some people describe me as fluffy. Perhaps that's got to do with the curves.
I love the fact that they're all so different.
Okay.
And when you see them at the end, Some, yeah, I can never really tell what they're going to look like, but that's the best bit for me is hearing them talk about so passionately about each picture and what it represents. And that person might hate kind of public speaking or even talking about what their life is all about.
Yeah, they might not have had the opportunity.
No, and then
they might not be able to write it down, but if they can visualize it. It must be quite cathartic.
Well, it's really enlightening and cathartic for them, and they get just this amazing day to just concentrate on themselves and think about what they really want out of life, and that's what it's all about.
When you said at the end of the day, when people have created their boards and then you speak with them, do you do that as a group collective, or is that on a one-to-one? I mean, do people ever sort of say, I'm fearful of this, or is the process that you go through, you then become sort of attached or engaged with the group that you're with, so you don't feel embarrassed?
No, do you know what? Because of the energy in the room, it's incredible energy from the difference between the morning to the afternoon. Because as you sort of, you get kind of, while you're doing the magazine work, it's also time to contemplate and then chat as well. So everyone gets to know each other quite well. And when you get to the end, I've never had a case where anyone doesn't want to talk about their board. They're actually almost fighting to talk about their boards because they've realised so much about themselves and about their lives and what they actually want. That it's just this amazing energy, and the fact that they've got, I mean, some feedback I got the other day, just, you know, I'm buzzing from this, it's a week, you know, I did it a week of last Saturday, and I'm still buzzing from it, and what also happens is your other opportunities continue to happen. So it just opens up opportunities for people.
Because if we're being closed, we're blocking things, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. It sort of unblocks you, and it kind of makes you. What it did for me is it made me unstuck. So I was sort of able to kind of move on and get clarity about actually what I really wanted to do in life. And that's what it's done for loads of other people. And I want to do this for thousands of people.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In career, sort of focus on maybe three areas that I was stuck with. Mm. So relationship, career, health and fitness, because I know it's so kind of been, those three areas are in need of.
Do you do it for teenagers at all?
Well,
or is that something you might look into?
I would love to do it for teenagers because I'm sure
that's a nice idea.
Yeah, it's really useful, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone from sort of, I don't know, 18 upwards.
I was going to say,
70.
Particularly if somebody's at that very critical decision making point of, do I go to university? Do I do an apprenticeship? Or am I not ready? Do I take a year and go travelling?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, how on earth at 18 do you know?
I know.
I certainly didn't.
No.
So that could be quite a useful thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you're talking about what you do, I know the books I've read always suggest that you write things down.
Yeah.
Because it's more likely, write down your aspirations, your dreams, because you're more likely to see them through if you they say pin it on the fridge, don't they?
Yeah.
So where can I ask you where your board is in
it's
your home?
In my bedroom.
Is it?
Yeah. So I see it every morning and then every evening when I go to bed. And I kind of I make sure I look at it every day.
And how often you mentioned you'd done two boards now.
Yeah. So you can do them every 6 months, but I've done mine on a kind of that's yearly.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do what I'd like to do actually going forward is to focus on career, health and fitness, and relationships, and actually do. Although the board is very powerful, what I've found from keeping in touch with the workshop attendees is that some people it really works for them, and some people just need a bit more motivation. So actually to do goal setting as well as their vision board, just to give them that extra push towards their goals, so then have almost a quarterly plan and a Facebook group. So that's what I'm working towards at the moment.
Gosh, lots. You're going to be busy.
Yeah.
You're
going but I love it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I don't mind being busy with it.
And it's very inspirational. Now, I looked on your website. And you have a little area for books, reading.
Yes.
And books that inspire. What have you got somebody in mind that really inspires you? As an author, or
yes, I mean, there's lots of subjects. One thing I have learnt a lot about is the subconscious mind and how powerful that is, and how fear takes over. So there's an amazing company called Mind Valley, which I have now been a member of for a couple of years, and they are sort of an educational system. They do a lot of self-development, but in lots of different areas. So they're sort of almost like the university of life. And their belief is that obviously at school we don't learn things like how to love, how to have a relationship, how to do, you know, how to have a kind of health and fitness career or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they have courses, individual courses on how to do all those kind of things. So Mind Valley is one of my biggest inspirations, actually, for what I do.
Thank you, Laura. We're coming to the end of the show, which is such a shame, because again, all of our guests today have been amazing. So could I ask you, have you any advice that you could offer to our listeners, particularly those who might want to create their own vision board?
Yes.
Or book a workshop? Could you also give us the details of your workshop again that you've got coming up?
Yes. So I've got a workshop on Sunday the 10th of March, and I will be also scheduling some more. I've just found a beautiful new venue which is perfect for my workshops. It's actually a yoga studio, and so I will be.
How will they find you?
They will find me on visionboardsurrey.co.uk, and you can email me at visionboardsurrey@gmail.com.
That's brilliant. And we hope that all of these lovely people out there are going to come along and bring some colour or some calm into their life with your vision boards. Thank you so much. It's been lovely. So we say thank you to Laura Doherty from Vision Board Surrey. Well, I'd like to thank all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Deborah Levitt from Bridge Road Consulting, Megan Duziak from Action for Children, and Laura Doherty from Vision Board Surrey. And also a big thanks to my co-presenter, Penny Carter. And also thank you to Graham Laycock, who produced the show for us.
Thank you, Mandy. And just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know someone who you think should be on our show, then please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them. And please don't forget to follow us on Facebook.
Yes, if we could get them on a future show, that would be amazing. And you can see our details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening, and join us again next week for Just Women. That's live at 1 p.m. on Tuesday and repeated at 8 p.m. on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dynelly.
And it's goodbye from me, Penny Carter. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, Penny.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.